Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now, as promised, the orange meets the red, white, and blue. Lebanese journalist Rami Khoury loves American democracy. He also happens to be a Syracuse alum with a rooting interest in the Final Four this weekend. Rami Khoury joins us now to tie his two loves together, arguing that the Syracuse basketball team's zone defense is a metaphor for parts of American democracy. We'll see if he can pull this off. Rami Khoury is director of the Issam Ferries Institute for Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University in Beirut and teaching this school year at Harvard. He writes columns for Lebanon's Daily Star, and his new article on agenceglobal.com is called Lessons from Basketball and National Life. Hi, Rami. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be with you. Just a small correction. I'm not Lebanese. I'm Palestinian,
okay,
Jordanian, but I live in Lebanon. I'd like to be Lebanese. It's a great country.
Forgive me. Lebanese by long-term residence. To begin with full disclosure after that correction, what's your connection to Syracuse University?
Well, I went to school there as an undergraduate and a master's student a long time ago in the late 60s. And early 70s, before the Syracuse was a basketball powerhouse. They were good at football then, but I studied there, and I learned a lot of great things about American life and culture, including a love for college sports and a deep affection for American constitutionalism. I had some amazing professors, Mike Sawyer and other people at the Maxwell School at Syracuse, and then I learned some other things about American life, which young men had learned about in the United States in the 1960s, street protests, writing, all kinds of journalism, having a good time, and learning how to transition into adulthood with all that entails. So it was a wonderful period, and I was blessed to have that time to be in the United States at that dramatic moment. And many of the things I learned, journalism, professional qualities, political analysis, a love for American values, are still with me today.
So go ahead and draw that metaphor for us. Syracuse's basketball team, zone defense, and parts of American democracy.
Well, the metaphor is not exactly as you described it. The metaphor is, in my column, I talked about the zone defense, the 2-3 zone of Syracuse, which is a real work of beauty when it works properly, and it worked tremendously in the last 2 weeks when we massacred some great teams, including Marquette and Indiana, and we just turned them into withering leaves who didn't know what to do almost on the basketball court, simply because this zone press captures for me some of the greatest dimensions of American life and values beyond just the political. And what I said about the zone press is it captures three things that, to me, work really well in capturing what's great about America. First, individual skills. These players each have had a chance, probably since childhood, to develop their personal skills. Second, the capacity to work together as one unit, to sacrifice individual glory for the benefit of the entire team. And that is a sign of both of great coaching under Jim Boeheim and others, and it's a sign of selflessness of individual men. In this case, they're men. The women do it as well, but their zone defense isn't quite as famous as the men's zone defense. But it's a sign of selflessness where men give up some of their own glory for the benefit of the team. And the third thing it reflects is the ability to adapt and to adjust to different circumstances. So depending on the team you're playing, the zone keeps changing. It moves out a little bit. It moves in a little bit. It moves right and left. There's different adjustments that are made, sometimes within the game, sometimes within a span of a few minutes. So those three things, individual excellence, collaborative team spirit, and the ability to be flexible and adjust to changing circumstances, for me, are a metaphor for the best in American life. And the link to constitutionalism in the article that I wrote was that on the same day that I watched Syracuse beat Indiana very badly, and Indiana was ranked number one for a long time in college basketball. At the same time, the Supreme Court was hearing the case related to same-sex marriage. A lower court in California had ruled it for it, and the Supreme Court was hearing this appeal against it, a review of that case, and that captured for me one of the perhaps the single most impressive thing about American democracy for me, which is the role of the judicial system, the judiciary's role, in what's called judicial review, where the Supreme Court can review the verdicts of lower courts, the decisions and the arguments, and rehear a case or an appeal, and make a decision that either keeps the lower court decision or changes it. And this happens with every generation. In this case, the court was hearing a decision that was made just a few years ago in California about same-sex marriage. But there's other issues. For instance, this issues about the issues of gun ownership, mm-hmm. the Second Amendment, I think,
right.
Where people, there's a huge debate in the United States, and this has been going on for many, many decades or centuries, and the whole thing about the California case raises the oldest issue in the United States, which is the law, the state law versus federal law. Who has the power to overrule the other? And the fact that this goes on generation after generation in the judicial system, and both sides can give their arguments and be heard, is very impressive for me. So the zone press and constitutional excellence on the same day, on a sunny, nice, cool day in New York City 10 days ago when I was there, captured for me two of the greatest dimensions of American life. And I thought it was important to point those out, that we, you know, I spend half of my life criticizing American foreign policy because so much of it, I think, is either immature or criminal. And we criticize many things about the American government's behavior. But we also should commend the United States and recognize when its best values come forward. And two of those best values came forward in the same day for me.
So, listeners, anything you want to say and engage with Rami Khoury on, either on this idea of the Syracuse men's basketball team's own defense as, I guess more accurately, after hearing that, a metaphor for American culture, American life, as well as the impressive constitutional fact of judicial review for this journalist who was raised abroad but studied at Syracuse. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or maybe you want to call up and make another kind of metaphor with your favorite sports team to some other aspect of American life. I don't know. 212-433-9692. Of course, not all Americans love judicial review so much, as I'm sure you know, Rami. Some see judges as having too much power to unilaterally overrule the will of the people. They bring up Roe versus Wade. You know, there's a federal court ruling here in New York just this morning, and I'm waiting for the reaction to it. It orders the FDA to allow the morning after birth control pill to be sold to people of all ages without a prescription. And some people will ask, why is that the role of the court?
Well, I think the great thing about American political culture and the governance system is that there are institutionalized mechanisms that are peaceful, democratic, and contested mechanisms with contestation, where people argue different sides of an issue, and there's many ways they write in the press and they hold public rallies and they put advertisements in the media and they do whatever they want, they give lectures, and then they vote regularly at different levels of government. So you can vote in the people that you want, vote out the ones that you don't like. And then the court system kicks in and has many levels of authority. So if a lower court makes a decision, it goes up to the circuit court and then it goes up to the Supreme Court. And the beautiful thing, I think, is how Americans sit around waiting for the court verdict. I remember the election of Gore versus Bush. It was an extraordinary spectacle where it went on for, I think, it was a couple of months, I can't remember. And people just waited and waited and waited, and finally the court made its decision and everybody accepted it. So this is a sign of an extremely mature sophisticated and, I think, noble political culture. It's a political culture that also has ugly sides to it, like the current stalemate in the Congress, for instance, where you have mature men acting like children. But I think we need to point out the good stuff along with the bad stuff. And there are people who disagree, of course, and this is the whole point of the American system that makes it so special and why people all around the world, and certainly in the Arab world today, are fighting and dying to enjoy the same kind of liberties and democratic pluralism and accountability and rule of law governance, is that it actually ultimately puts the decision in the hands of the citizens. The great writer Tony Lewis, who died last week,
yes.
Was a wonderful man, and he wrote a column years ago that I keep, and I told him many times before he passed away, he was a friend, I repeated to him, it stuck with me for years and years, where he said that the voice of the president counts, and the voice of the Congress counts, and the voice of the political parties counts, but in the final analysis, the only voice that counts in the United States is the voice of the citizen. And this is the greatness, I think, of American political culture, to manufacture and create a system with different levels of authority and participation, and ultimately the majority will triumphs and the minority rights are protected.
George in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC with Rami Khoury. Hi, George.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Brian and Rami, I'd like to thank you both Brian, for bringing the article to our attention. Sometimes I chafe, even when I agree with critics of our policies, especially our foreign policy, because it's easy to throw stones, but to hear Rami express his admiration for culture and even little things like the tournament and, you know, the beauty of sport at its finest is just made my day. So thank you very much, and have a great day, guys.
Thank you. Go Orange. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Thank you, George, for that. One small correction. Basketball is not a little thing. It's a big thing. It's the biggest thing in life right now for a lot of people for the next 3 days, 4 days. In fact, my two sons and a daughter-in-law are going to Atlanta to watch the Final Four, and they're all decked out in their orange shirts, and my daughter-in-law has her Otto earrings, and they're ready to rock and roll, and we'll be up here at 4 in the morning in Beirut watching the game on television.
What's your international comparison with that? Do college sports become as big a deal, around the countries that you've lived in or covered as they do in the United States?
In a different way. I think the comparison is that sports, especially college sports in the United States, which people carry with them all their life. I mean, you see grown men wearing UCLA hats and Michigan jackets and Virginia socks, and they put stickers on their cars. And what it is, sports to me is the tribal identity of the American people, which they otherwise lack in terms of belonging to a certain group of people that are communally defined as one group of people. Overseas, you get a different pattern of this. In Europe, this kind of mad allegiance and fervent support is practiced for sports teams. And in the Middle East, unfortunately, you get sports and politics mixing very closely because the political systems are not very mature. So people focus their attention, if they support certain basketball teams or football teams, they're often closely linked to certain political groups or religious groups or tribal groups or ethnic groups. But every country around the world has a different way of expressing the same thing, which is a communal identity brings together people who have nothing else in common other than their commitment to this one team or this one group of people. In my case, it's the Syracuse Orange, and you run into people all around the world who somebody will be have a Syracuse hat, and you'll just instinctively say, "Hey, go Orange," and then they'll do the same thing. And this, this is done by millions and millions of other people, Americans, but also foreigners who study in the United States and get infected with this wonderful virus.
Well, Rami Khoury is director of the Issam Ferries Institute for Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut. He's spending this school year at Harvard. He writes columns for Lebanon's Daily Star, and his new article on agenceglobal.com is called Lessons from Basketball and National Life. Go Orange!
Lawrence, you bet.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we have Ophira Eisenberg, host of NPR's Ask Me Another. And she's now the author of a memoir called Screw Everyone, Sleeping My Way to Monogamy. Too much information about Ophira coming up next.